All right, thanks for tuning in to the Wilson Rush podcast again. We got T Will joining us again today. How you feeling, T Will?
Oh man, great day today, man.
Great day. Glad to hear. See, Rush sends his regards. He couldn't be here today. He's off filming his reality TV show, so he couldn't join us today. But he'll be back. He'll be back with us again on Saturday. Before we get started, T, well, I just want to say I got a text from my wife's friend, and she texted me and she said, you know, can you stop going? So stop talking about Howard a lot. And I said, okay, well, you know, we reached out to Howard and, you know, we wanted him to be on the show today to apologize to him. But he couldn't decide if we were going to Skype him on his cell phone or his laptop. So he just canceled. So I just want to go out and say we tried to reach out, but, you know, he canceled. He couldn't decide on which mobile device to use. So today.
Well, my thing is they want us to stay off Howard until he gets you fired. You know, once he gets you fired, then, hey, your opinion will change.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But all right. I mean, we just going to get right into it today. Real simple show. We going right into the Heat and Spurs, man. Game two was a blowout in Miami Heat's favor. Game three, huge blowout in the Spurs' favor. So, T. Will, I'm just going to ask you right off the bat. What happened Tuesday night? Why did Miami look like the Miami Bobcats?
Well, to be quite honest with you, fine, you're probably not going to believe my answer. You probably won't. But since Gary Neal is one of our biggest fans and he's one of our biggest listeners, and when I said the Spurs role players would be the reason they won and I left his name out, I think he was pretty ticked off. So he wanted to make sure I did not leave his name out on this episode. So Gary Neal, yes, you were the reason. You and Danny Green were the reason that you guys almost put a 40-piece on the Miami Heat.
Yeah, the NBA is a game that when you switch venues, I just don't understand how you just see two different teams. I love basketball, but in the NBA, when you switch venues in a playoff format, you just see two different teams. I still don't understand that, but the role players play very well from the Spurs, obviously. And that 2-3-2 format that I spoke about last time is, I don't know if Miami Heat role players can play well to get two out of those three games on the Riverwalk, T. Will.
Well, the thing about it is, I said before, they're not consistent. The role players for the Heat aren't consistent at home. So I really wasn't relying on them on the road. You know, Mike Miller came out. He put on a shooting expedition. And to be honest with you, without that shooting expedition, are we talking about a 50-point loss?
Yeah, we might.
Possibly.
We might be. We
you
might
know,
be.
So where are the Heat without Mike Miller, you know, and to really look at why the Heat lost, I mean, you have to look at, you know, look at the greats that have played this game that have gotten rings, the Michael Jordans and the Magic Johnsons and guys like that. And even those old Celtics players, those guys had killer closeout instincts. And I just do not see that in LeBron James.
Yeah. I mean, talking about LeBron James, I'll be the first one to tell you, I've never agreed with the criticism that he's taken. I mean, he's a walking triple-double. He can pass, he can score, and he can rebound, and he obviously can defend. But Tuesday night, I have no idea what that was about. Every superstar in the NBA understands that you got to do that much more on the road. So my question would be to you, why was he so passive?
You know what? When have we seen him just ultimately aggressive? I mean, I can remember seeing LeBron more passive than I've seen him aggressive, you know, and I really think that's his makeup. That's his game. Even in Cleveland, with the role players they had, he was passive in Cleveland. You know, he deferred in Cleveland to a Booby Gibson, you know, to some of those other guys. And he's doing the same thing in Miami, and these guys aren't coming through when, in retrospect, he should really be trying to put these guys on his back and lead them to the promised land. But he's giving them, I think, too much rope to be in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, T. Well, I honestly I thought he turned the corner last year, and that game six at Boston was an unbelievable performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen that look on his face that he had from warm ups to throughout the game. He was locked in, he was focused, and he was a pit bull. But I do agree with you saying, like, LeBron James doesn't come off as a pit bull, cause he wants to get his teammates involved. But the Miami Heat haven't had a 20-point score in the first three games yet. So, that's crazy. So my question is this. LeBron James says he's gotta do more, but here's the thing. Can LeBron James score 30 or 40 points with him getting triple teamed in the paint and sometimes even quadruple teamed, forcing him to kick it out for a three? Can he even score 30 points against the Spurs?
Well, I think it's rough for any individual to score 30 or 40 with a triple or quadruple team. I mean, his teammates have to show up. I mean, that's why these sports, it's a team game. You know, his teammates have to show up. I mean, look at Jordan. Jordan did it with role players, you know, and Jordan got doubled and triple teamed, but Jordan held his role players accountable. If you weren't hitting the open shot, he was getting you out of town. You know, he was replacing 3-point shooters left and right. He was going to get somebody in there that knocked down the shot, or he was going to get somebody in there that rebounded the ball. You know, if he's getting double and triple teamed and he put that ball in your hands, he highly demanded of you and held you accountable.
Yeah, I mean, that's to be honest, that's why LeBron James does get a lot of criticism, is because if you're going to be great, you're going to get compared to great players. And Michael Jordan was a stone cold killer. And, you know, LeBron James lost in six to the Dallas Mavericks. And, you know, this first time with the Heat, and, you know, there's no way, you know, I think we all can agree on it that there's no way that would have happened to a Michael Jordan team. You know, there's no way he's losing to that Dirk Nowitzki team. That's just not happening. But, I mean, he's a walking triple-double, yes, but, you know, if he's going to do whatever it takes to win, he's going to have to be a little bit more selfish. And I got to reference that game six at Boston last year. He's going to have to play that way because those are the shots that the Spurs are giving him, and he's not making those shots, T.
No, he isn't. And I haven't seen an NBA defense, a scheme like Popovich came out in game three with. I mean, they were going so far under screens. They were going under screens that weren't even meant to be set. They were trying to just – they were giving him and D-Wade all the room in the world, and we said, we would dare you make a jump shot. You know, and take our hat off to Pops. You know, we talked about the Spurs defense and things like that. It's not LeBron just going out and having a bad series shooting the ball. It's the Spurs playing excellent defense.
Right. But do you think that mental – edge that Pop has is working, that he's saying, okay, we're going under the screen way far in the paint, you make that shot? Do you think the players are thinking about it more, because they are building a crib with all these bricks?
They are. You can tell D Wade and LeBron, they're so shocked with it. They were so shocked and stunned with it. You can tell with their body language, they're like, what are they doing? Okay, I guess I'm supposed to shoot it. And then they were just building the house, like you said. They built the mansion. It was ridiculous. Now, I think Pop, he won't come out with that same scheme tonight, but I also think if he did, that the Heat players, that Wade and LeBron in particular, will be ready to knock down those shots, or at least be ready, to take those shots if they were given that same situation.
Okay, I mean, like I said, I'm not a LeBron basher, but that he's got to be better than Tuesday. And one more thing before I get off of LeBron is, you better not let Danny Green block your shot again. So I'm just gonna leave it at that. I mean, that's got to stop happening.
And the thing about that is, you know, Danny Green, you know, really good sharpshooter, great weapon to have in a corner, you know. But for him to block LeBron's shot, I mean, where'd he go? North Carolina?
Okay, Duke Blue Devil, obviously. Okay. All right. But okay, so now let's talk about the mentality of the Miami Heat, because once again, we all know Popovich. If his team is out of a game, that's what I love him as a coach. He has that great ability to say, "Hey, you know what, guys? We lost this one." And they come right back the next game. They come right back. That's not an issue at all. But T, in the finals, the Miami Heat were beaten by 36 points. Do they have that same mental toughness to take a deep breath and say, it's 2-1, 0-0 tonight at the Riverwalk, is 0-0 to start the game? Do they have that mental toughness to pull this one out?
Well, I think it all starts from the top. You just spoke on Pops. You say, you know, Pops, he'll pull his guys and say, hey, look, we lost this one. Let's play for the next one. And like I said before, they're cut from their championship cloth, and I expect that from them. But at the same time, I look at the head of the Miami Heat. I look at Eric Spoelstra. I've seen the look on his face several times last week in game three, a few days ago in game three. It looked like he walked in on his wife cheating on him. I mean, it was like the looks he was giving on the sideline was like, it's like a look of unbelief. Like he just couldn't believe it. So looking from the way he was looking and the way this game went, I'm not 100% sure that the Heat can overcome this mental hurdle. I just don't. I think we will see traces of it in game four.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I think it's all about how this game starts. But the Miami Heat, I think, it really is hurting them this Eastern Conference playoffs. It's hurting them. The Milwaukee Bucks, okay, if you're the number one seed, you're expected to play a team that maybe not even 500 in the East. Okay, so that first round is supposed to be a bit of a joke. We understand that. But when you get in the second round of the NBA playoffs, it's supposed to be competitive. And no offense to the Bulls, because they're probably the hardest working team in the NBA. But without Derrick Rose, they didn't stand a chance. And then all of a sudden, the Heat are in a series in a 7-game fight, and now they're in the finals. And I don't know if they are battle tested yet. Even though you go and say, well, how is a champion not battle tested? But I challenge that with this Miami Heat team. I don't believe that they're battle tested.
No, I totally agree 100%, Stephon. I mean, they aren't battle-tested. I mean, when they came out of this series, that seven-game series with the Indiana Pacers, I'm going to be honest with you, they didn't want – that's the last thing they wanted to see was the San Antonio Spurs waiting, well-rested, waiting on them in the NBA Finals. They did not want to see that. They were in a dogfight. And it really, to me, it goes back to the way that the Miami Heat are built. You know, with the big three and the role players that they put around them, I just think they're not built for that, for maybe that championship brand of basketball. And I'm not trying to take any credit for what they've done in the past and the championship that they have from last season. But looking at how you would want a team built and how you would want to run an organization, you know, the first few things, you know, a solid big man in the middle, you know, having great team defense and things like that. You know, I just don't think the Miami Heat has a solid foundation the way that they put this together. Yes, they put three guys with three great talents together on one team. But after that, it's kind of like, you know, the foundation really isn't there.
Yeah. See, my thing is this with the Miami Heat. The game has changed in the NBA now where they can get away with no post player team. And that's why, you know, a lot of people that really love Team Heat say, oh yeah, this is the best team of all. I tell guys this in a minute. There's no way. There's no way. You guys have no post presence. You can't beat these teams back in the day with solid post player, you know, Patrick Ewing, obviously Shaq, Hakeem Olajuwon. If you think Roy Hibbert gave you work, we talking about Roy Hibbert? Come on, man. But they get away with that now, though, T. They get the game has changed, and you know, you can win a championship with Joel Anthony last year starting at the five.
Correct. Yeah.
So let's, I think that game, even though the Spurs played well, I think that we had to talk a lot about the Heat because I think their mentality is very important. So I wanted to hit on that, but let's change gears a little bit and let's talk about the Spurs now. They stole game one, and I got to be honest, you know, they said in the post game after game one that, you know, hey, we got to get greedy. We got one, but let's get greedy. But game two, they didn't do any of that at all, T-Wheel. They played like we got one, let's go to the Riverwalk. Now, this game tonight, now it's 2-1. Do we see that same type of passive team that's just playing to win two out of these three games? Or do we see the team that say, hey, you know what? We're not going back to South Beach.
Well, I don't think they had a mentality that they're going back to South Beach. I mean, I can't think of another game in this whole entire postseason where a team had this much momentum going into a game. They just beat the defending champs by almost 40 points. You know, they're shutting LeBron James, which is considerably the best player in the world. They're shutting him down. Terrible numbers with their team defense. They have huge momentum. They're at home playing in front of their fans. I mean, they can't be in any more of a comfortable situation right now.
Yeah, I think the goal has to be to end it in five. You know, I said the Spurs in six because I gave the Heat credit for winning one of these games, and I thought the Spurs would take two. But there is nothing that I'm seeing out of the Miami Heat that they're even going to win one more game. And I know, you know, you don't want to overanalyze in the NBA playoffs because it is just one game, because the Heat can come out and they could play well tonight and tie this thing back up, and it can be a possible seven-game series. But I'm not seeing anything that showed me from the other night that the Heat can even possibly win this game.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't much to take from the other night. I mean, they were trying to get out of the building. They were trying to get back to their hotel rooms. They just wanted to get in a comfortable place. I mean, that was a very uncomfortable loss for the Heat and that organization. You know, and you know what? Kudos to the Spurs, man. You know, to popping those guys. You know, right now they have to have the attitude fine of, you know what? I want to be greedy. We have to go up 3-1. You know, I think they have to have that mentality because they don't want to turn it into a best of three series with two games left in South Beach.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I hope it's a good game because let's be honest. This is the finals. We've seen two blowouts the last two games. So I'm really hoping that it's a close one, regardless on which way it go. Okay. The other day we asked the question that if these guys don't win the championship, will one of the big three be traded? Now, I want to revisit this question a little bit now and ask you this, T-Will. Hypothetically, if the Spurs run Heat off the court and blow them out the next two games, do you change your answer now and think one of these guys will be traded if they're just ran off the court the next two games, embarrassed in five games?
Well, I mean, if they're embarrassed in five, they lose in seven, they win. My answer was based on money. You know, it wasn't based on, you know, would I like to trade a player or, you know, do I like Bosch or Wade or Brian, whatever the case may be. That wasn't where my answer stemmed from. My answer stemmed from the fact that I don't think they will be able to move these pieces. You know, I don't think they'll be able to move Bosch. You know, I don't think they'll be able to move D. Wade. And like you said, if they were going to move anybody, it would be LeBron. But I just personally don't see them moving LeBron. That's why my answer was I think the big three will stick around and be the big three in Miami for the next few years. You know, now would I like to see one of those players traded? Absolutely. I'd love to see one of those players traded to get better role players in there because I think it'd be a little bit more healthy for the NBA, you know, as a whole. And I like NBA basketball. I've watched it for years, you know, but for the last, you know, maybe year or two, I haven't watched it as much because I just don't think it's enough parity in the NBA right now.
Right. I agree. You know, I got to be honest here. If they get ran out the gym and losing five, something's got to be done. And the reason why I say that is because Pat Riley knows the Eastern Conference is not good. Like, so winning the Eastern Conference is not like, whew, we beat some good teams. That has nothing to do with it. To get blown out and ran off the court in five games to the Spurs, that's on a decline. Because we got to be honest, T. It's not like, you know, an up-and-coming Thunder team beat them or a Clipper team that's up-and-coming. This is a team this is their last ride, though, T.
Absolutely. They're on the back end of their run. You know, Spurs are on the back end of their run. And you know, changes will come in Miami. And I think it starts right away with the head coach and that staff. I think that'll be the first thing to go. Is he deserving of it? I'm not the one to say, but that's pretty much the process. You know, they're not going to get rid of a LeBron James because it happens. They'll get rid of an Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah. You know that. Well, we know they don't have a problem in NBA letting you go. It don't matter what you do. So that's a whole different issue. but all right, we just, you know, Wilson and Rush podcast, we just wanted to give you our thoughts on the series. Once again, hope you guys enjoy the game tonight, and I just hope it's a lot closer. The last two games have been blowouts. Good luck, whoever you're rooting for. T-Will, I really do appreciate you coming on, giving us your thoughts and your busy day. I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. Anytime. Always had time for the Wilson Rush podcast. Like I said, we just take the conversations from the basement to the internet.
No, that's right. See Rush will be back with us on Saturday. We will have another great edition of that Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down. And once again, if you want to contact us, we are at WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com. Once again, we appreciate you listening. Enjoy the game. Have a good one, guys.
I mean, I don't mean to brag, but Custom green suit, apple gators, 100,000 on my wrist. Pinky shining, poop reclining, white tee and linen outfits.